वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. I am very happy to be with all of you this afternoon, evening for you, afternoon for me. I am happy that you are organizing conferences of such a nature, seminars, get-togethers. It is very, very important for all of us to discuss these topics, because these topics involve the practical application of our philosophy. You see, in Krishna consciousness there is philosophy and there is a practice of philosophy. So philosophy cannot be seen in isolation of its practice. Simply intellectually being aware of things and debating, etc., is you're not able to hear me? Are you able to hear? Now can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, because you put some speakers in front, so I was wondering whether you were able to hear me. So, okay. So, I was saying that, no, then I cannot see you. It is right in front of the camera. Yes. So, Krishna consciousness, like any other field, involves theory and practice. Of course, the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that even the theory is also a part of the practice, meaning that when you have to read the books and understand the philosophy, when you have to hear lectures on Krishna conscious philosophy, that is an important part of the practice itself. So, because it is absolute, in one sense there is no difference between the theory and the practice. But nevertheless, when we speak of practice, we speak of application of these things in our day-to-day life and the practical actions that we do. So for example, if we are speaking about Krishna consciousness, but we are not united together for various reasons, then it means that we are not applying the principle of Krishna consciousness properly. We have maybe understood the philosophy or the theory of it to some degree, but we have not internalized it. We have not assimilated it. We are not able to actually implement it in our life. And therefore what happens is that then people say, what is the good of being devotees when you people have these differences? I have been hearing this kind of statement or criticism from those who are not devotees for decades now. Whenever devotees have some difference of opinion and it comes to the notice of those who are not devotees, then they take this opportunity to point out to the devotees how they're not following their own beliefs. So yes, it is a fact, because what more than the philosophy, what people think about when they look at us is how we behave and how we deal with each other. More people become devotees by experiencing the love and care and by seeing the good dealings amongst the devotees than they do simply by hearing philosophy. That is not to say that philosophy is not important or that philosophy doesn't form an important part of convincing people about taking to Krishna consciousness. But the point is that if we only speak the philosophy, but it doesn't translate into action, and specifically into our dealings with people, with each other, amongst the devotees as a community, then it doesn't go down very well with others. So, it is said that a picture speaks more than 1,000 words. There is a proverb like that. And I would say that an action speaks more than 1,000 pictures. So, it speaks more than thousands and thousands of words. So, when those who come in contact with our community of devotees see how nicely the devotees are interacting with each other, how cooperatively they are functioning, and how unitedly they work together to serve Krishna's purpose for practicing and preaching Krishna consciousness, then they become very enlivened. They become very happy. And then they think, yes, this is actually practical spirituality. Otherwise, people in this world are tired of seeing quarrels everywhere, of seeing differences everywhere, even amongst religions and people of religious nature, so many quarrels going on. So people want to see a change. People want to see something inspirational, something very positive. And when they see a community of devotees that exemplifies and exhibits these qualities, then they become very enlivened. So this is what will also attract many, many people. Apart from that, for effective functioning, for facilitating the individual and collective progress in Krishna consciousness, for all of us, it is important to be united. So if we are all united together, then we will all very nicely together progress in spiritual life. But if we have differences, then individually we will lose our enthusiasm and we will probably go back in our Krishna consciousness. So not only for the sake of those who are not devotees, but also for the sake of those who are devotees, within that particular community of devotees, it is important that individually and collectively for our own progress in Krishna consciousness, we should be united and work together cooperatively. Of course, when we work together unitedly like this, we can achieve so much more. So it is a better utilization of time, energy, resources, and we are all happy when we work in such an atmosphere. Nobody likes to work in an atmosphere where there is constantly quarreling, difference of opinion, and there are people trying to work at cross purposes. Then nobody likes to be in that atmosphere. So it is very important that somehow or the other we understand the principles of unity and cooperation and the need and importance for this, and then try to implement it so that we can become a very united, sublime group of devotees, not only locally but also all over the world. So of course you have been having this seminar, I believe, and I'm very, very happy to hear this topic being discussed. I'm sure you, in the course of this seminar, you must have heard many stories. You know, it's stories are not meant only for children, although it's very important that if you have small children, you must tell them stories. And wherever there are small children, remember, telling stories is a very important part of giving them the proper upbringing and sanskaras. But even for adults, secretly even adults like to hear stories. So the children's books that are there are first read by the adults, then the children. Because it is our nature to hear stories. So therefore I'll begin with a couple of stories. I do not know if you have discussed some of these stories in your sessions, perhaps. But one such story relates to the demigods and the demons. The demigods and demons, as you know, are often at loggerheads, and sometimes they have wars amongst each other. Sometimes the demigods win, sometimes the demons win. So there is a constant struggle for supremacy within the universe. Now, very often it is seen that the Lord sides with the demigods. So in that case, the asuras or the demons, they feel that the Lord is being partial. So they approach the Lord and say, "Why are you being partial? You are the Supreme Lord. We are all your children. So therefore, you should be impartial to all of us, and you should not work only for the benefit of the demigods who are our enemies." But actually, of course, the Lord is never partial. He is actually equal to all. And the proof of that is that even the demons whom he kills in battle are delivered, and they get a higher destination. And when Lord Krishna personally kills the demons, they actually get liberated and go to the spiritual world. So I will tell you one such story. Now, I have not seen any Puranic actual reference to this, but whether it appears in the Puranas or not, it is a wonderful story, and there are lessons to learn from this. So when the demons approached Lord Vishnu and told him that you are always siding with the demigods, Lord Vishnu said, "No, that is not a fact. Actually, the point is that you demons are very self-centered. You are very selfish. You don't cooperate with each other. And you look only for your own progress and your benefit. Whereas the demons, they work together very nicely. And therefore, automatically, they emerge victorious." So the demons refuse to believe this. So Lord Vishnu says, "Okay, I will prove this to you." So he organized a feast. And in this feast, there were nice laddus, delicious laddus. And he told the demons and the demigods. He says, "Okay, demons, I'm giving you the chance first. Because you say I'm always partial to the demigods. So here I will give you the chance first. Now you must eat these laddus. If you eat these laddus, then I will understand that you are superior to the demigods. But the condition is that you must eat these laddus without bending your elbow and without bending your back." Now, this was a very tough condition. Imagine if you are told, you are given a laddu, which is on a plate, and you are told, "Eat that laddu without bending your back and without bending your elbow." So the demons were trying hard and they could not do it. Then Lord Vishnu asked the demigods, he said, "Can you do this?" So they said, "Yes." So they sat across each other, and one demigod, without bending his elbow or his back, he lifted a laddu and placed it in the other demigod's mouth, who then ate that laddu. And then the second demigod did the same. He lifted one laddu without bending his elbows and back and placed it in the mouth of the first demigod. In this way, both the demigods were able to eat the laddu without violating Lord Vishnu's condition. Similarly, all the demigods acted like that, and they were able to have a nice feast of laddus, whereas the demons were not able to do that. So Lord Vishnu told the demons, "Just see, this is because you could not eat the laddus because you were only thinking of yourselves. But the demigods are not like that. They are thinking of others. And they were thinking how they could help the others eat the laddu. And because they helped the other person, that person also helped them." So in this way, there was a very comfortable atmosphere amongst them of cooperation and unity, and they all emerged victorious. So in modern day terminology, we will call it a win-win situation. But for all of you, you did not do that. You only wanted to have that laddu for yourself. You did not consider whether the other demon will be able to eat the laddu. So this is the difference between you and the demigods, and that is why more often than not it is the demigods that emerge victorious. So you should not blame me. So this is an important lesson for us, that when we are not selfish or self-centered, when we are not looking only at our own individual benefit, when we think about the benefit of other devotees, of other people, of all living entities, when we are thinking like that, then automatically there is a sense of sacrifice, a sense of unity and cooperation that emerges. So this is a very important concept to understand, that to the degree that we only want to work for ourselves, for our pleasure, for our gratification, for our benefit, when we think of life from a materialistic point of view, then it will always be a lose-lose situation. Because this will give rise to very unhealthy, vicious competition, as we see in the material world today. Between country and country, community and community, individual and individual, there is so much harsh, vicious competition. Because they want to grab everything for themselves. They want to be number one. There is no idea that we must help others also grow. And in the process of helping others grow, we will grow. And if everybody thinks like this, that we should help others grow and benefit, then naturally we will also be benefited. And we will all grow together tremendously. And it is this spirit of sacrifice, of wanting to help others, of not being selfish and not being obsessed with only one's own self, that actually cooperation and unity and love and trust and happiness and success and prosperity are all possible. In fact, this is our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the principle that we are servant of the devotees. Naham vipro nacha narpati napi vaisho na shudro naham varne nacha grihapatir na vanastho yatirva kintu prodyan nikhila paramananda purnamritabdhe gopi bhartuhu padkamalayor dasa dasanu dasah. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that I am not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. I am not a Grihastha, Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. That is not my introduction. That is not my identity. Then who am I? I am Dasa, Dasanu, Dasaha. I am the servant of the servant of the servant. Of whom? Of Gopi Bhartuhu, the master of the gopis, who is Krishna, who is the source of bliss for the entire universe. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, my identity is that I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So the devotees are the servants of Krishna. So therefore we should be the servants of the devotees. So if everybody has this mood in the devotee community that I am the servant of the devotees, there should be no place for ego. There should be no place for a selfish interest, self-interest. If we work in this spirit of considering ourselves as servants of the devotees and not the Lord and Master of the devotees and the others, then unity and cooperation happens very easily. Now this idea that we are the servants of the devotees is brought out in the way that Srila Prabhupada asked us to address each other. So generally, say when we address, we say Prabhu. Prabhu means master. So we are addressing the other devotee as our master. So that means that I am accepting that I am this person's servant. But it is not simply a matter of just saying it verbally. But we must also mean it, and we must act in accordance with that. Suppose I tell somebody, Prabhu, I like you very much, but then I go and do something very much harmful to that person. So does it make sense, my calling him Prabhu? So one time, Srila Prabhupada in a lecture humorously was imitating a hypothetical devotee who is calling out another devotee's name. Prabhupada wanted to say how we should become the servant of the devotees, and it is not simply just by calling somebody as Prabhu. So while we should call somebody as Prabhu, but we must actually mean it with our heart, and our actions must be in accordance with that. So he said, imitating this hypothetical devotee, Nanda Gopal Prabhu, come here and polish my shoes. So if we consider that devotee to be our Prabhu, then we are not going to order him around like that and to make him come and do my menial service of polishing my shoes. Then I will try to go and polish his shoes if that is what is required. So in this way, the Vaishnava society of devotees is organized on the principle of the devotees understanding that they are the servants of each other and that they must serve each other in all humility and sincerity for the pleasure of Krishna. It is not a false humility that is just for the sake of showing, but it is genuinely exhibited because it comes from the heart. And when the devotee community is built upon these fundamental spiritual principles of humility, of servitude, of considering oneself the servant and the other the master, then automatically we become so united, so loving, so much together. The best example of a united, cooperative community of devotees is Vrindavan. The Vrajavasis in Krishna's time. How united they were. Now I'm sure you've all heard so many pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan from Krishna book, from Srimad Bhagavatam. And you will see that the Vrajavasis went through innumerable challenges. You see, the relationship between devotees is tested in times of difficulty. The mood and atmosphere in a community is tested in times of challenge. When everything is going well, it is nice for everybody to be courteous with respect to each other, to have trust and love, and to help each other, consider oneself the servant of the others. But when there are problems, when there are servants, when there are challenges of this nature, then there is the issue that comes up. There is a problem. So, therefore, we have to look at the example of the Brajavasis, that they were so united, so loving with respect to each other. They had such cooperation amongst each other. So what is the reason for that? The reason is very clear, and I'm sure you all know it, because you are all very sincere practicing devotees of Krishna. The reason is that they loved Krishna more than anything else in their life. Very simple. Because they all loved Krishna more than anything else in their life, Krishna was the center of their existence. Krishna was the center of Vrindavan, of the community of Vrajavasis. So because of that, whenever the Vrajavasis thought, spoke or acted, they always acted keeping this in mind. All their thoughts, words and actions were motivated by love for Krishna, never by any selfish means. They never tried to cause harm to anybody. They only tried to protect Krishna from harm. Of course, in their devotion to Krishna, they did not know that actually Krishna was protecting everybody. And it is only a leela that it appeared that he was in danger when the asuras were attacking. One of the specialities of Vrindavan is that the Brajavasis, they loved Krishna more than their own children. Now generally, we all like children. It is human nature to like children. But even though you may like so many children, but you will like your own children more than other children. This is also human nature. Am I right or no? So I'm sure that you will bear me out. So this is the nature of the world. But in Vrindavan, it was not like that. In Vrindavan, they all loved Krishna more than their own children. This was the nature and intensity of their love for Krishna. Because they were so Krishna conscious, they were able to live together in such a way of such a unified and happy way despite the challenges. Just imagine the kind of challenges the Brajavasis went through as a community. Every single day, Srila Prabhupada said, some of the asuras attacked. And on some occasions, there were more than one attacks on one day. And each time the Brajavasis were saved, Krishna was saved. And on other occasions, there were other events like forest fires breaking out, or Kaliya poisoning the lake, and the cowherd boys and the cows dying, and Krishna bringing them back to life, and so on. Then there was the occasion of the lifting of Govardhan Hill. So innumerable difficulties came in the life of the Brajavasis. On some occasions, they had to shift their residence as a community. From Gokul, they went to Vrindavan. From Vrindavan, they went to Nandagram. Actually, they moved to, they moved from place to place. So we can see that the Brajavasis remained always united because their consciousness was centered on Krishna, not on themselves. Whatever decisions were taken for Krishna's safety and happiness, they happily agreed. They did not think of their own interest. Oh, why are they shifting the whole village? I would rather be here because I think I will make more money here, or because I will get some benefit by doing this. No, they thought only of Krishna's interest. So therefore, whenever decision was taken, you know, if for Krishna's benefit, they all went along with it. So they were totally united. And they also listened to Nanda Baba. Nanda Maharaj was the leader of the Brajavasis. And he was the father. So he, even though there were others who were older than him, including his old brothers, but because he was so wise, and because his devotion for Krishna along with Mother Yashoda was unparalleled, so the Brajavasis would follow whatever they said. So in this way, there was perfect example of harmony and cooperation. The Brajavasis loved Krishna, therefore they were able to love each other. And the more they loved each other also, the more they loved Krishna, because they were all devotees of Krishna. So loving Krishna means loving Krishna's devotees. Loving Krishna's devotees means loving Krishna. So there cannot be unity and cooperation unless we love the devotees and we love Krishna. So therefore, the principal point in unity and cooperation is that we should all try to love Krishna more and more and more, and help each other love Krishna more. This is the real standard for cooperation and unity. Otherwise, from a materialistic point of view, it is very hard to have unity because everybody has their own self-interest. Srila Prabhupada therefore used to say that there is this organization called United Nations, but the number of flags at the United Nations building in New York keeps on increasing every year, which means that it is becoming disunited, not united. United Nations means that ultimately all should have come together and become one united kingdom, one united world, one family, which is what our Vedic Shastras say. In fact, there is one Upanishad, the Maha Upanishad, in which there is this famous saying, Ayam Nija Paro Veti Ganana Laghu Chetasam Udhara Charitanam Tu Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. You must have heard this phrase, Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. So Kutumbakam refers to the family, and Vasudha refers to the earth. Vasudha is one name of earth. Vasu means wealth. Dha refers to Dharini, she who holds or bears. Because Mother Earth upholds or bears so much of wealth within her, she is called Vasudha or Vasundhara. So Vasudha eva Kutumbakam. So the whole earth is one family. But it is one family for whom? Udara Charitanam. For those who have big hearts, who are not so selfish, who are not simply self-centered, who are actually very much in a mood to sacrifice themselves for helping others. But for those who are small-minded, Ayam Nija Paro Vetti Ganana Laghu Chetasam. Those who are Laghu Chetasam, Chetasa, whose minds are very narrow, they think only of themselves. They will think, this is mine, that is not yours, and they will quarrel amongst each other. This is for my benefit. So then you can never have unity even in one small family. Whereas, if everybody in the world has this udara cheta, udara chitta, you know, you have a very magnanimous broad heart in which you want to sacrifice yourself for serving the whole world in Krishna's service, then you will see the whole world as a family, a united family, and then the world will actually become like that, as it was in the time of Satya Yuga and at other times. Whereas, if we remain being small-minded, then we will never succeed, because we will never allow the other person to progress. Srila Prabhupada one time told the story of the crabs in a basket. You know, there are some fishermen who gather crabs and then they sell them in the market, because there are many people, unfortunately, who like to eat these living entities. So these people, they get the crabs, they put them in a wicker basket, and then they carry them to the market. Now, they don't put a cover or a lid on the basket. So there is no need for that. Normally, you might think that if you leave some, some animals or some fish or whatever who can survive there, you have to cover it and close the lid, otherwise they will escape from there. But the fisherman does not bother to cover it. Why not? Because he understands the mentality of the crab. The crab has a typically small mentality. So when one crab thinks, well, there is no lid on the top, I can easily crawl up to the surface and escape from the basket. So when the other crabs see that the one crab is going up, they all jump on him and pull him down. And when a second crab quietly tries to climb out of the basket, the others have an eye, one eye open on him. And the moment they notice him doing that, they jump after him and pull him down. So in this way, it is a lose-lose situation, because they all work against each other's interests. And because they do that, they work against their own interest. So when we act in a way that does not create unity, we will be acting against ourselves as well. So if we want our own benefit too, the intelligent person must act in a way that creates genuine unity. And the central point of unity Hare Krishna. Can you hear me now? Yeah, sorry, there was some internet malfunction at my end. So the central point of unity is Krishna. So we must work together in this spirit, and apart from having the spirit of servitude to all the devotees and being Krishna conscious, we must also be well organized in the way we do things. Now just look at the way the ants and the bees organize their societies. We have a farm community here, and we have some beehives also there. So the bees, they have their own very superbly organized state of social activity. There is clear allocation and distribution of services and responsibilities. Each one knows what he or she is going to do. And therefore the function is very efficient and productive. They all have a common purpose. And because of this common purpose, and because of clear allocation of services and responsibilities, clear good organization, good management, they have complete unity. So apart from the fact that we must be very humble and we must cooperate with everybody, we must be try and be more and more Krishna conscious by chanting the holy names, hearing Bhagavatam, etc., we must also bring in to our community of devotees organizational skills and efficiency, because otherwise that will also be a cause of disunity amongst the devotees. If we do not handle things right, if we don't do things in a timely way, if we do not do the work that is allocated to us, if we are not responsible about our own services, if we are not methodical in our planning, if we don't do things in advance and give everybody time to act, so if we don't come together in this way and properly distribute and take the right decisions, that will also cause disunity. So of course, we are not like bees and ants. We have free will. We have some minute independence. And we have our own natures to deal with. So some flexibility naturally has to be there. So we must all also learn human relation skills. There must be maturity of personality. You see, somebody may be a 16-rounder, 32-rounder devotee, but if that person doesn't have maturity, then he or she may not know how to deal with others and create unnecessary misunderstandings. So apart from the other things that I've mentioned, it is very important that for unity, we must also have good organizational skills, human relations skills, leadership skills, etc. We must also learn these things, how to conduct a meeting, how to get things done, when there is an event, how to manage it. Because in our movement, All the communities of devotees have to do things like this. They have to organize festivals, they have to organize projects. So every temple in our movement in the world has to have these activities. So therefore we must learn these skills as well. There must be good communication, there must be consultation, there must be joint decision making in a proper way. Things must not be done whimsically. So in this way, if we at a directly Krishna conscious level and also at an organizational level, we work on these things and we become more responsible and dedicated to our services, then automatically unity and cooperation will be enhanced. Even if one member in the team is not responsible and does not do his or her functions, that becomes like the weak link in the chain. And that causes disruption and disunity and dissatisfaction. So every member on the team, therefore, must be very responsible and timely about the responsibilities that need to be followed. So I think I will stop here because I have spoken for almost 45 minutes or so. And I think we want to leave some time for questions. Okay? So these were some thoughts that I wanted to share with you on the topic of united we stand, divided we fall. So my warm regards and best wishes to all of you who are serving so nicely in this group of devotees. I think earlier you were in Tungabhi, now I don't know which place, what is that place you are in now, whichever place anyway. But wherever you are now, I wish you all the best. And my prayers always that you may all flourish individually and collectively in your devotional services. So if you have any questions, etc., you may feel free to ask. Hare Krishna. Oh, Vijay Gopikesh Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Sorry, because I couldn't recognize you at a distance. But I heard the voice and I recognized. Yes. Hare Krishna. Well, actually, in our scriptures, in our books, Prabhupada's books as well, there is quite a bit of information from which we can learn. From Srila Prabhupada's lectures, from his teachings, there are so many practical skills of this nature that we can learn. You know, from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. For example, some years ago, I don't remember whether it was in Sydney, I think it was in Melbourne, I gave a seminar on the culture of speech, which is based exclusively on the scriptures, on Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, Ramayana, etc. So there are many lessons to learn. Because communication, speech, preaching, these are also practical skills. So we get many things to learn from here. Srila Prabhupada has also said many things. But apart from that, personally I feel that it is quite all right to also get some knowledge from secular sources to a limited degree, provided such information does not conflict with our philosophy, it does not have anything objectionable from the Krishna conscious point of view. But we should take it in a limited way. It should not become entirely from the secular world. And it is not enough to take something from the secular world and just add a little Krishna and Prabhupada here and then do it like that. But we must genuinely try to make it sound in terms of Krishna conscious understanding. But in principle, if there are some good points, some good practices that are and good statements that are available in the outside world, by all means we can take them, but they should be taken in a judicious way, in a selective way, in a careful way. So Vijay Gopikesh Prabhu, I'm very thankful I got the opportunity to be with all of you, and my heartfelt appreciation for all the hard work you and your good wife are doing, along with the assisted by the other devotees, to push ahead and this community of devotees here. And I'm sure that Srila Prabhupada will bless all of you for all your sacrifices and sincere services here. Yes, what to do? I am also missing the association of all of you. But thanks to one very, very tiny living entity whom we cannot even see with the naked eye, so much disruption has been caused in the world. So therefore, this tiny entity is preventing me from doing many things that I may otherwise have liked to do. But by Krishna's mercy, hopefully this will be settled, and let us see. I hope I will be able to come and get the association of all of you wonderful devotees there in Sydney. Hare Krishna. To some degree, such fear and apprehension is natural. It happens to everybody. And to some degree, it is good also. But we should not be constrained more than is necessary by such apprehension. Otherwise, we will never be able to live together as a community. You know, we must all, as a community, work towards developing these relationships in such a way that even if there are differences of opinion, we will not take things to heart. You know, in Hindi, there are two words, man bhed and mat bhed. Mat means opinion. So, mat bhed means difference of opinion. Man bhed means that your mind is split. That means you develop, you know, disturbed relationships. So that should not happen. So it is natural that there will be differences of opinion. But the differences of opinion will have to be handled very maturely. So those who deal with others must also be careful. They must be sensitive that they don't hurt others' feelings. They don't speak in a way that is not appropriate. That they are also responsible and sensitive in the way they act. In that way, then there would be no reason for us to feel apprehensive or fearful of committing offenses because of bad experience. So such instances of bad experience will diminish a lot because of this. Okay? Thank you. Okay. Yeah, one last question. Hare Krishna. I cannot see you. Yes, it is like some Akashvani coming from heavenly planet, some. Yes, it is natural to feel like that. It is very understandable. The first thing to do is to take his association through his vani. Vani means his teachings, his instructions, his lectures, and through the memories of whatever association you have had with him in the past. So in that sense, he will always be with you. On the spiritual platform, there is never any separation, Srila Prabhupada used to say. So in that sense, you will always be together with your Guru Maharaj. You will not be separated from him. Secondly, that keep yourself more and more Krishna conscious, because you know that ultimately that is what your Guru Maharaj would want from you. He would want for you to become more and more Krishna conscious. So the more you follow his instructions and you become a better and better devotee, the more you can be assured he will be pleased. And in doing that, you will feel the connection with him very strong. And thirdly, just take shelter in the association of devotees, especially the senior devotees. And in this way, some of that shall we say, vacuum will be filled up. So when we associate regularly with devotees for hearing and chanting and serving, then automatically we feel very happy and we feel nourished. So, and in this way, if you act, then automatically you will feel much better and much more relief, and then you will be able to spread this kind of positive message to everybody around you, including your God brothers and God sisters as well. Okay? Okay, so I thank you all very much for this opportunity for me to come and serve you in this way. My best wishes once again. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol Hare Krishna.